Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you, Mommy Abeli. We thank God for all of you that are on the line tonight. Thank you so much for always being here and faithful, especially those on the 24-hour watch for willing women, always joining us on this ASLPN time of prayer. Amen. Father, we thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you for your mercies anew every morning. Thank you for your compassion towards our generation. Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, the one who gave up everything, his very life, to make a way for us to be in your presence and to be with you all the days of our life. So, Father, today we ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Open our understanding, oh God. Excuse me. Open our understanding and give us eyes to see and give us hearts to receive the things your spirit is teaching us. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. We thank God for, excuse me, how far he's brought us and where he's taking us. He's brought us through almost more than half of this year, and we are still here. We've been on a direction of training and teaching that the Spirit of the Lord has been awakening us to more of God and how to live behind the veil, how to sustain a lifestyle of worship, how to apply the key of David in our life, which is really the staying in the place of worship, how to engage ourselves in the time of praise and worship in times of crisis, whatever situation we find ourselves, to use worship, thanksgiving as a key to bring us to that place of peace and breakthrough. And we'll be looking at these various areas, how to go from glory to glory through these various processes. But as we see the atmosphere that is over the nation right now, somebody just called me this evening before we pray, before we this prayer line, about what is happening in California, how the fire is almost crossing, the smoke of the fire is crossing different aspects of the nation, that to the point that is even they can look through this, look towards the sun, because of the thickness of the smoke that is filling the atmosphere. And we see the threats, and we see all the various storms that are building and those that are passed and all that is happening. I was just meditating on some things, and the Lord, I feel to share with us, based on this during atmosphere, how we can take advantage of this time that we are in to encounter God in a totally deep and very, very different way. So I want to share tonight the atmosphere. There are atmospheres that create miracles in our life. There are atmospheres that give birth to different levels of God's glory and different levels of our destiny or breakthroughs in our life. And there is a condition. When we meet this condition, when these atmospheres are created, it gives birth to something. It gives birth to something. Whether it's a negative, depends on how we approach it. It can give birth to negative things, or it can give birth to divine spiritual destinies and birth great things in our generation. So I want to read a scripture that will help us look at the direction that the Spirit of God is leading us tonight. The background for the scripture we're about to read in the book of Genesis 32, we're going to start from verse 24. The background for this is was when Isaac and Rebecca were married, and Rebecca couldn't give birth to a child, and she was barren. But it came to a point that Isaac prayed and God opened the womb of Rebecca, and in her womb, when she became pregnant, there was trouble in her stomach, and she prayed and God told her she carried two destinies in her womb, two nations. And it was the wrestling of Esau and Jacob in the womb. But in that womb, eventually God told Rebecca that those were destinies. Destinies were in her womb. So you all know Jacob and Esau were born. And after they were born, you all know what happened, and that Jacob stole the birthright, and Esau wanted to kill Jacob, and of course Jacob fled and went to walk with Rebecca's brother, Laban, and there he worked for some years, got married to Rachel and Leah, and all the things that happened. And then God now spoke to him and said, it's time for you to return back to your land, to the place, to answer the call of God where he was running from. So on his way back with all his family, with everybody, you all know the story, he heard that Esau was coming with 400 bands of strong men to coming after him to kill him. So the news of Esau coming, that is danger coming, crisis coming, his life is at stake. When he heard that, so let me read the scripture now at this point, based on that background. Genesis 32, verse 23. And he took them and sent them all over the brook, that's his family, and sent them over that he had. Verse 24. And Jacob was left alone. And there he wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, that's this man, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, that's Jacob said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Verse 27. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. You know, this is a conversation between this angel and Jacob. And he said, that's the angel said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with man, and has prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, the angel said, wherefore is it that thou askest after my name? And he blessed him there. Jacob received the blessing there. Verse 30. And Jacob called the name of the place Penuel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Amen. Now, we see when Jacob was conceived in her mother's womb, we remember also the word of the Lord from the book of Jeremiah chapter 4, when the Bible says that Jeremiah, that God knew him from his mother's womb, and God ordained him from his mother's womb. So we see that destinies can be carried in the womb of a woman. So now, Jacob had destiny, and this was made known to Rebecca while they were in the womb. Now they were born. In the natural, when Jacob knew some things about his destiny, he was trying to make it happen. in the flesh. So he was called a supplanter, a manipulator. So he knew he had destiny. He was trying to make it happen. It's not come to happen. It's not happened. So now he's running and he's now coming back. But something happened when he heard that his brother now, who is now become his nightmare, his enemy, is coming with a band of people to kill him, to destroy him, because to take his birthright back. So now Jacob is now faced with what the world would call, a hard place. You're not face to face with death. You're now face to face with a crisis that you cannot escape without a supernatural help. So under this atmosphere, this is an atmosphere that is being created. Under this atmosphere, naturally, if you're not a believer, you will look to somehow a worldly solution. You begin to look, that's when people start looking to all kinds of things. And if they can't find a solution in the physical, they start looking for spiritual solutions. Maybe they go see a witch doctor or whatever in the world. They start looking for answers, whichever way they can, because they are in a crisis moment, an atmosphere, they needed help. But as believers, Jacob, being a seed of Abraham, knew a place to go, knew. He's encountered these angels, and he met this angel, and he held on to this angel that represents a messenger of God, represents God. He held on to this angel in a desperate way. He held to this angel in such a desperation that even an angel was asking to let go. Jacob was so desperate that he held an angel to the point that the angel cannot escape the grip of desperation. And the angel fought, Jacob wrestled with that angel to the point, out of desperation, that something happened. A breakthrough came out of this desperation that gave birth. The atmosphere created a desperation. The desperation gave birth to Jacob's destiny. And his destiny is today a nation called Israel. Now, this has always been on God's heart, and God has programmed this to manifest through him. But this thing could have remained dormant, and Jacob possibly would have died with it if Jacob did not meet the atmosphere that caused him to enter into a place of desperation. I want to talk about another story, and then we'll look more closely at what the Lord is saying to us tonight. It is the life of a woman in the book of 1 Samuel. Her name is Hannah. Hannah was barren, but this man, Peninnah, Elkanah, had another wife called Peninnah. She had children. So, but Hannah had no child, and it was the hand of the Lord. God allowed it, because he says it was God who shut her womb. So, but as long as Hannah was comfortable, it was convenient for her to live with that barrenness, she was okay. So, but somehow there was an atmosphere that was created, and this atmosphere became Hannah's nightmare, and it was Peninnah. It was a mockery. It was a mockery. Peninnah was mocking Hannah, was creating a very terrible atmosphere for Hannah. So Peninnah made Hannah's barrenness miserable, to the point that Hannah could not no more be comfortable being barren. And in that atmosphere, Hannah was pushed into a position of desperation. In her desperation, she discovered a place she never knew existed with God. She pressed through the pollution of the priesthood. She pressed through the complacency of the high priest. These were the only available process she could have reached God. She could have gotten her breakthrough. She passed all these things that has not helped her all the years of her barrenness. She, her desperation pushed her into a place that she didn't know that she was. She pressed into a desire that God had. God wanted a son, somebody that could begin to direct Israel towards the things and purposes of God, because the priesthood is being corrupted, and God needed somebody to lead Israel into their next phase of destiny. It was the not just barrenness was not just a, it was something Hannah could have lived with, because Elkanah was treating her well, but it was the atmosphere that Peninnah created that forced that barrenness to create a desperation, and it was that desperation that activated and released the, that gave birth to Samuel, who became a man that God used to shift the destiny of Israel prophetically into the right direction. So, another example before I will go to the one that didn't have to do with a need is the life of, there's this blind man that always stands between Jerusalem and Jericho and stays there and beg. He was a beggar. He's been very comfortable with begging because he's blind. He's seen that as the only source of income and livelihood, and he was okay with it. But there was an atmosphere, and this atmosphere was created when Jesus was passing around him. And when he knew that Jesus was passing and he heard Jesus was passing, you all know him as blind Bartimaeus. This man was pushed into a place of desperation. It was in that desperation, because when you are desperate, nobody can stop you. Nobody can shut you down. Nothing can hold you back. There was nothing they did to shut him up that could shut. He cried out even louder. He stopped heaven. He helped. Jesus had to stop and minister to him. Gave him his sight and moved from there. He gave birth to his eyes. God opened his eyes again. Gave birth to a miracle. Now, the point I'm trying to reach tonight that God is reminding me is there are conditions that create, that activates miracle, that releases our destiny, that opens doors and begins to do, things begin to manifest that God has already planned for us to walk in, that we've not walked in because we didn't realize that we've been walking in a convenient Christian life, or we've been walking in a comfortable lane. So, Jesus told another parable about this in the book of Luke, about a friend that had a need and went to another friend at midnight. There was no bread to eat. So, in other words, there was this starving person that was starving, possibly is going to starve to death, came to this friend's house, and this friend went to the place where they sell bread to get bread. You all know the story, the friend at midnight. Jesus told that story on prayer. And this friend went to where they get bread, but he was late. And he was knocking on this door for bread. And his friend would not open. But he knocked and knocked until he got his friend angry. And his friend said from behind that door, "I will not open that door to give you. I'm in bed. I'm asleep with my children. I will not open." But why did he eventually open the door? Because the person kept knocking. What did Jesus say? He did not open the door because he was his friend. Because he was asleep. And it was midnight and the door was closed. He said he opened the door because of his desperation. His persistent desperation. Why? He can't go back. What created the atmosphere for desperation? He can't go back to somebody that's about to die of salvation with an empty hand. So we see that crisis sometimes becomes the only avenue that leads us to the fullness of Christ, the things of God. Crisis create atmosphere for us to give birth. Crisis create atmosphere for desperation. But if we channel our desperation towards God, it's amazing how God takes crisis and give birth to destiny, give birth to miracle, give birth, takes us to dimensions in the spirit we never knew was available. The world people normally used to make this statement. They said, necessity is the mother of invention, or adversity. So now, the reason I'm sharing this is there's a desperation also that is created by a different kind of atmosphere. You know, we've been talking for a while about Jesus died to remove the veil and has created, made a way for us to come into the presence of God, to experience the glory of God, to walk with God in ways that we've lost. You know, Saul, you know, like we talked about, Saul was comfortable being a king, anointed a king, comfortable without the glory of God until David came. You know, so we were asking ourselves the question, is it possible that there's something we are missing about the things of God because we've gotten convenient, we've gotten comfortable with the way church, with the way our life is. So that's why we've been sharing that, and God calling us to experiences behind the veil. That's why I'm sharing it. So we see now that there is a condition that causes breakthrough, and that's desperation. But desperation does not happen when we are comfortable. When we everything, no matter what God has told us is available, we don't go after it. We can hear preaching, we can hear all kinds of revelation. Sometimes it does not provoke us to go after those things. But we see their destinies buried in us. There are visions, there are dreams God has called us to. We'll be waiting for sometimes this, that. But it's like from the life of Jacob, you can see all this while he was okay, working things out, until he was confronted with a crisis that created desperation. It was out of desperation he gave birth. Hannah, out of desperation, gave birth. Blind Bartimaeus, all through the Bible you will see what desperation forces people who know how to go after God to give birth to things. So, but there's another kind of desperation I want to read to you that really is why the Lord has been sharing with us about behind the veil, you know, behind the veil, the glory of God, the glory of God, the glory of God and stuff. But how can we do that and hear all these things without a desperation for it? The Bible, Jesus calls it hunger and thirst. But really the best way to understand it is being in a desperate mood for something. So in Psalms 42, the reason why God has used David so much with me and with this whole sharing we've been doing is because he is an example of a man who became desperate after the heart of God. David did not seek God out of crisis. His desperation was a revelation of the reality of God. And the crisis for David was, I have to have God. And in Psalms 42, this is how David described the kind of desperation that was not for money. It was not for barrenness. It was not for a big house. It was not for God bless my ministry. It was just, I want you, God. I just want you. He created a desperation for just God, not the things God can give him. So he says, as the deer pants or longs after the water brooks, so my soul pants after God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God, when shall I come and appear before him? That's David's prayer. That's David's cry. And if you look at Psalm 63 here, again, David again is saying, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. Why? My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longs for thee in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is. Why am I desperate? Why am I crying? David said, verse 2, I want to see your power and your glory as I've seen you in the sanctuary. My brothers and sisters, the Lord was dealing with me. It's like, are you getting comfortable? Are you satisfied with where you are? Or, you know, there's devastation can push people into a place of desperation. But people can be desperate, but their desperation sometimes can be more towards to recover natural things, to recover lost natural things, or to recover a comfort zone. Desperation can push people to all kinds of situations in life. Desolation can even make people, they can turn it into being backsliding or become thieves or become robbers or become murderers or become drug addicts, can become many things. But for those who have called Jesus Savior and Lord, we have an example here. Under crisis atmosphere that has been created, Jacob knew there is a God he has to go after. And out of desperation, we see that Israel is alive. Because of that, a nation called Israel is being named after what came out of this experience. We see Samuel today came out of desperation. We see a man's blind eyes open because he saw an atmosphere. He became desperate. A lot of people are blind. They saw Jesus pass. They heard about Jesus, but they did not have the condition for them to receive breakthrough because desperation was not there. And so I started realizing when Jesus talked about this parable of the widow woman and the parable of the friend at midnight, the key behind everything there was is not just praying. It's not just praying, but it's praying desperate prayers. America, let me, before I get to that as we close in that direction, David realized that God has a lot for Israel as a nation, as a people with covenant. But look at what happened. A young man got a revelation that most people knew. But what made his revelation different, he added desperation to it. And out of desperation, he went after God's heart with a desperate heart. You know, most times when we fast, fasting is one indication when we are desperate. We say, I need to fast about it, to pray about it. You know, it pushes us to fast. We can eat or something. But most times, you know, my fasting or those, you know, I find myself, so maybe I'm fasting because I want a breakthrough for something. I want a breakthrough for that. I want a breakthrough. I want to be delivered from this or delivered from that. But, you know, David here is saying, when I was, my flesh was longing, my flesh was this, where will I come? Or when David said, I will not give sleep to my eyes, I will not give sleep. It was all about God, your glory. It was about God, I need you. God, I want you. I'm not desperate for what you will do for me. I am desperate because I need you. I want to know you. I want to know you so that I will be in a position for you to use me to influence this generation for your sake. But I don't want to do it for you. I want to know you so you can do it through me. You see, we are seeing a situation in America now that is creating an atmosphere for desperation. But will this desperation give room? With this atmosphere, will it give room for us to become desperate? so that our desperation can push us to unlock maybe the move of God, or maybe the awakening, or maybe the things we've been praying but has not happened because we've not been desperate. There is a preacher, a brother. This man is one of the most powerful ministers today in the world. He's an American. God has used him greatly to bring conviction in people's life. How did God start with him? He's known God. He's been around there, all these big names in ministry, and he was serving under their ministry. But he had a problem in his life, and it was a bondage kind of situation. So he will go to this preacher, please lay hands on me, pray for me. Not, they will pray for him. He feels good, but nothing has happened. He's gone to so many of them that he worked with. They've laid and prayed, nothing happened. So one day he told his wife, he said, you know what? All these people have prayed for me, and they are all anointed for this. I can't live without this thing anymore. And I know God has an answer, because his word says that. So I'm going to go to our basement in the house. Don't look for me. I just want you to know I'm there. But just keep me in your prayer. He went to the basement of their house. He put a chair there, and he stayed there. He says, God, I will not leave this place until you lay hands on me. Now, when people say that, the only way you know they are desperate is they never come out until something happens. When you know people don't mean it, is they find an excuse to come out later. He meant it, and because he meant it, he never left that place. And God just visited him, set him free from that thing. And that's when this brother's ministry was born. And today is touching nations. Written a lot of books that people are reading all across the world that changes their life. Desperation is honor, is one of the many expressions of faith towards God. So I don't know, maybe in the season we see America now, and God has called us to the nation for such a time as this. Look at Esther. If Esther was not pushed by Mordecai and forced her to enter a place of desperation, she would have been comfortable. There is a spirit of comfort that is not about, comfort is not, has nothing to do with lifestyle, whether you reach big or no. Comfort is when you are content. When you're content, when the things God has revealed to you, the things God has shown you, the things God has promised you, you have not seen the fullness of it yet. You've not experienced it yet. And you are not pressing for more of it. You're doing great. God is using you. But you just cannot. You're content, not like you're losing your peace, which is godliness. But you are pressing for more of God. You are desperate for him. You fast just for him, to get him, not for things God will do. You're fasting, God, I don't want to eat. I can't eat these 2 days, these 3 days. I just want you to reveal yourself more to me. So where America is today, you know, look at Daniel. Almost all the revelations Daniel received for his time, some of the prophets, they did not receive understanding of times and seasons when a nation is in crisis, because they were convenient or comfortable. When they saw crisis, when they saw situation, it forced them to the presence of God. They started saying, God, why is this happening? God, what are you saying in this season? What is the message? Or if you have a message, how do we give ourselves to your presence? God, you know, how, Father, what do we do so that this atmosphere will not be wasted again towards the things of the flesh? What do we do so that this can turn a nation towards a desperation for God, not to restore comfort zone again? So that's why I feel this is timely for us as we're crying for the glory of God that we're seeking. The Lord started saying, are we desperate for it? Or are we creating atmosphere on our own self? One of the ways I create atmosphere for me is through fasting. You know, so David did not wait for crisis. Crisis has forced me to seek God. Crisis has forced me to pray. Crisis has forced me to go fast so that I get a breakthrough. All that has happened. But I started finding out now that, wait a minute. God, I don't want to wait until crisis come. I don't want devastation, things to force me to discover the things that are hidden in you for my life. I want to be desperate for you, and I want to fast, I want to seek you just to discover more of you and what you have for me. So my brothers and sisters, there is a blessing, there is destiny, there are opportunities that are hidden in us. There are things that God has spoken about America, about us, about your city. These things are hidden. Like Jacob, his promise was hidden in him. Hannah, Samuel was hidden. But until their desperation was activated, again, the world list parable says, necessity is the mother. It gives birth to invention. Most of the things we are enjoying in life today, some of them did not just come easy. Some people discovered them out of crisis. So what the Lord is saying to me is, look for opportunity, kingdom opportunity in every crisis. Don't let crisis pass for the devil to receive all the glory about the bad that has happened. He said, look for what God wants to do in the midst of crisis so that glory can come out of devastation. Glory can come out of crisis, just like the examples I gave to you. And God says, I have it. There's something God can give to us in every crisis. God wants to be glorified in it. But we cannot find it on the surface. We have to be desperate in the time of devastation or crisis to discover it. Like Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. He turned the situation around. Hannah held on to the altar, weeping in a way. In other words, I will not leave this altar until I know you have given me a breakthrough. And God came through. And he said, I will give this son back to you if you give me one. So my brothers and sisters, as intercessors, as men and women, God has trusted and given the opportunity to carry the grace of prayer, even in this time in America. Let's not allow the atmosphere we're seeing today only to glorify the devil. Let us seek the face of the Lord together. Maybe God will unlock, uncover, and give birth to something that will bring about the glory of God, even in this season in the nation. And if we do it together, what momentum would that be? So maybe next week we can share more how we can do this together to seek God. Look at this new hurricane coming. Who knows what is coming after? Who knows what is building? What is building? If you're looking for answer on the surface, you're going to be driven by the wind. All the people I share with you, they found the answer in the most desperate inner circle of God's prayer closet. So I encourage you today, whether it's personal crisis, personal situation, city, national, family, look for what will glorify God in every crisis so that no matter what you go through in life, the devil will not get the glory at the end. Father, I thank you. Because you are worthy, you are God, you have created all things, and you've given us exceeding great and precious promises. And one of those promises you said, you will always turn everything the devil meant for evil for good. You will always make all things good for those who love you. But Father, tonight we're asking, let our desperation be channeled towards you. And let, oh God, this season, may we begin to unlock those things that are hidden from us. Because maybe we are too comfortable, maybe we are too convenient, but Father, now we are asking, create a desperation in our heart so we can walk in the fullness of our destiny. Receive all the glory and honor, O God. Thank you for these your daughters, these your sons and daughters that are purposing their heart to be on this line. Father, unite our hearts towards our destiny, especially as we see these things happening. In Jesus' name, amen.